tell me a little bit about how you decided that this subject was something you were interested in looking into.
My research is primarily focused on mental health communication. So how are mental illnesses discussed in the media, portrayed in the media? So that could be anything from, you know, discussions on Twitter and other social media platforms to what is a character doing in a Netflix show? How are they portraying a specific mental illness? So stemming from that, I'm also a huge true crime fan. So this was more of a passion project. So I've been a longtime listener of the My Favorite Murder podcast. And listening to the two hosts, Karen and Georgia, be so open about their mental health and seeing how some of the fans were really getting some sort of positive benefit from that, I was really interested to create a research study around that and see what really is going on. It seems like this is creating good, positive change, and you know, that's really what inspired the initial survey.
Yeah, and so what are some of the benefits that folks are saying they're seeing from engaging with this podcast?
Yeah, the big one is this increased feeling of social support. So in addition to listening to the podcast itself, being connected with some of the Facebook groups, the major Facebook group is now archived because it got too large, but there's still a ton of subgroups. But this study was based off that original large Facebook group, and people that were listening to the podcast and also posting and reading comments within the group itself were getting a lot of bridging and bonding connections with other fans. So going on there, sharing something about their personal mental health experience, maybe based off something that the host had said that recent episode, and really getting positive reaction and just feelings of support from other fans. So that's a huge one. The other finding just being that the role of the hosts has been so important. So based on these relationships that the audience has with the host, so either feelings of friendship through parasocial interaction or identification. So I can really see myself in this host. I've experienced what she's experienced. And how that translates into help-seeking behavior. So because the host, Karen, said that she goes to therapy, maybe I'm more likely to go to therapy now. George is constantly talking about being willing to try new medications for her mental illness. Is that something that maybe I now have, you know, the ability to do based on someone in my peer circle telling me it's okay? So connections with the host is the other big one.
Sure. And so for people that have never heard the podcast or heard of it, can you talk about what it is and who Georgia and Karen are?
Absolutely. So they're two female comedians. They sort of got into this by accident. They talk all the time about how they met at a party, and they were both sharing sort of this grisly, horrific, dramatic story of true crime, and they are the only two really into it. So bonding over shared interest in true crime led to the creation of this podcast. And you can really tell that it's based on a friendship. They start each episode just catching each other up on what's going on in their life, and that's where a lot of the components of mental health come into play. So discussions about how they're doing, what's been going on. And then they eventually sit down and each tell each other a true crime story. So every episode is Karen telling a story to Georgia and then vice versa. And then they end each episode with what they refer to as their fucking hooray. So trying to change it from this super dark and negative to something good that's going on in their life. And sometimes that'll be really mental health based too. So they maybe have a new therapist. They've also done partner therapy together as podcast hosts and best friends. They're spending so much time together. So they've talked about their shared therapy experiences. And they've just been really open throughout the sharing of true crime about things that they've experienced. So if a story includes someone going through an addiction struggle or disordered eating, they'll share their own personal quips about, you know, what they've experienced in their life. So they're really transparent in terms of their own mental health.
Sure. And so what is kind of the profile of the typical My Favorite Murder listener?
Well, based on our study, we had an overwhelming female population. In terms of demographics, generally skewing more towards whites. In terms of age range, we had everything from, I think, 18 to 60s. So there's teenagers listening, there's upper demographic age listeners. In terms of the average listener, I think predominantly female is the main takeaway. The fact that females are so interested in true crime, based on a lot of the talking points that Karen and Georgia bring up, that as women, we're potentially more likely to be victims of different issues, and that if we have anxiety about these things, it can be helpful to talk through some of that. And by learning more about a specific case, maybe we can learn one takeaway to help prepare us, or at least knowing what's going on so we can be more educated. We know what to look for. We can try to sort of rationalize some of the things that are happening. So just very female focused.
Sure. Is there a component of true crime that may almost have the opposite effect, where it's, you know, you're listening to terrible things that could happen but maybe aren't likely to? Does it kind of increase people's anxiety around just existing in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a part that they talk about a lot, the two hosts. They each have specific triggers that they just don't really want to address. For instance, any story that revolves around like a 911 recording, Karen will say, I cannot listen to that. I don't want to see murder scene photos either. Georgia is okay with both, but she has other anxieties that Karen is okay with. So just thinking through what you can and can't process, and they say the same things to the listeners. Like, if this is too much, don't go down a rabbit hole of looking for crime scene photos about this case. And I think just knowing what helps you, and a lot of that comes through at the end when they say, it's time to talk about our hooray for the week. What is something that can maybe lift up our spirits? We've talked about all of these really anxiety-producing things. How can we end on a higher note so that people can sort of detox from the really grisly component of this?
Sure. And so the sense of community that folks have built up on the social media platform surrounding this podcast, it sounds like part of your thesis is that that's not typically how social media works for people. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, I think so often there's a lot of coverage and a lot of research that focuses on the really negative effects of social media and how spending too much time on these platforms can have damaging effects on things like a person's mental health. And that's absolutely true. There's a lot of research that discusses those findings. But this is one case where we're seeing a positive, which is great. So because you're involved in this show simultaneously in the Facebook community, you're getting some sort of benefit for your mental health. So it's sort of a nice palate cleanser from our traditional studies of, you know, spending too much time on Instagram can have these negative effects on body image, for instance. So yeah, definitely different than the status quo of some of our social media research.